Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today is going to be an hour about animals. Yes, we are going to be talking with Karen Anderson, who is an animal communicator. Karen, welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. Thank you very much for having me here today.
Well, it's a delight having you as a guest, and I have always had a soft spot for animals, and we have had a chance to chat a little bit before we're going to be doing the program today. And you've been involved as an animal communicator for a lot of years. And how did you discover these abilities? You know, this really hasn't come out in the public. Although, I'd say, really it's become more common to talk about this, I'd say, in the last 5 years. When did you find out that this was going to be your gift and your work?
Well, I pretty much stumbled along much through my adult life in jobs that were just very unfulfilling, and I couldn't really quite find my place in the world. I had been able to do this as a child, Donna, with some childhood animal companions that I had, but after something quite tragic happened, I turned all the abilities off, and I blamed myself for something that happened to a cat. I thought I had caused its death. And then later in life, much later in life, I was in a meditation session, and my guides came through to me, and they unveiled the plan that I was going to be this professional animal communicator and help people and animals understand each other better. So it wasn't until much, much later in my life that I found my path.
Now, you went to a police academy, and you became a deputy with the Park County Sheriff's Department in the year 2000. You also volunteered with a nonprofit group known as the Friends of Park County Animals, the FPCA. And you eventually were on the board of directors, and you worked with foster care, animal adoptions, and education in the community regarding people and animals, etc. How did you tune back in because of this particular situation with an animal that you had had such a close attachment to? There was a tragedy. The animal died. You thought you had caused the animal's death. But when you closed it all off, so many people who are intuitive, when they close it off, they think that that's it, that it's never going to come back. But you, because of your working in the Park County Sheriff's Department, opened back up to it. How did you know you were opening up?
You know, I think it was really something that happened over time. And if you know anyone in law enforcement, you know that most cops are very, very intuitive, except they won't call it that. They'll call it a gut feeling.
Right.
And we call them hunches, and we get a certain feeling about people. And it was actually as my work in the sheriff's office, where I had to work by myself, Donna, in a mountain community, and sometimes the nearest backup car was a half an hour or more away.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to be very, very careful about walking into a possibly dangerous situation. And I think it was that need of self-preservation, if you will, that I was able to start listening to that inner voice. And that's really what did it for me. I just started paying attention to the feelings I was getting, to the energy that I felt around a person or around their house. And I just started paying attention. And I think that's all it was. It was just kind of dialing in and paying attention to those little subtle feelings we get.
And that's something that any of my listeners hearing this should be aware of. That is the basic key that allows us to access this very natural resource we have. We can call it intuition. You can use any kind of terminology you want. You can emphasize clairvoyance, clairaudience, whatever. It's there to be accessed when we're ready for it. And it's tuning in and turning it on and just letting it do its thing, which you did. Now, with you, you have a special rapport with animals. And you had a story in here about meatballs.
In my book about
and your book about meatballs.
About the meatballs. That was really, the meatball story was when I was first learning how to communicate with animals, and for those that are listening right now, anyone who shares their life with an animal, we all know sometimes what our animals are thinking and feeling, even without their physical cues. We have a sense, we know when they're happy, we know when they're sad. And when I was learning how to do this, I was practicing with different animals. And this one particular dog that I was connecting with, her name is Misty, and I asked her what her favorite treat was, and she yelled really loud, "Meatballs!" And it was pretty funny, and I had to laugh when she said it. And so I was later talking to my father-in-law, who is Misty's human father, and I told him what she said, and he announced rather sadly that, "Oh, Karen, you're wrong. We don't feed Misty meatballs. In fact, we don't eat meatballs." And he said, "I'm sorry, but you know, you're way off." And when I was first learning, when anyone's first learning how to do this, it hurts when you get misinformation or when you think that you're not accurate. And so a couple of days later, I get a phone call from him, and he said to me, "Hey, I need to apologize. Remember when Misty told you about the meatballs being her favorite treat?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, we were sitting at the kitchen counter the other day." He said, "We always have our afternoon snack at 2 o'clock. He works out of the home." He said he went to the fridge and got out a piece of salami, and he cut a slice for himself and then a slice for Misty. And a slice for himself, and another slice for Misty. And as he was cutting that slice, Donna, he looked at it, and he went, "Wait a minute. It's made out of meat, and it's round like a ball. Meatballs."
Mm-hmm.
So it was at that moment that I realized that sometimes when the animals send a message, it's not always what we think it is. I was thinking spaghetti and meatballs.
Mm-hmm.
But Misty really meant salami, but she sent it to me from her point of view, from her reference point. It was made out of meat and round like a ball.
It's fascinating because you are doing something that I have shared with literally tens of thousands of people through the years, and that is that when you're starting to develop your intuitive ability, you have to learn a whole new language. And in your case, you were actually learning a language of communication via telepathy, which the animal would use words or would have a symbol of some kind. And you had to learn how to read it. And that's why I think the term readings is so appropriate for anyone when they are consulting someone like yourself. When you are getting the readings with the animals, then that's what you're doing. You're getting information. It can be auditory, it can be visual, it can be on a number of different levels. But it's really a learning curve, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. What a learning curve. And I struggled, Donna. I wanted to do this so bad, and I wanted to be so good at it that I was blocking myself, because sometimes when we try too hard, we just end up blocking. And so I did have to learn, and it took a long time, and it took many, many sessions with the animals and trying over and over again, but I just never gave up. I just kept on going, and eventually you get to a point. It's like going to a foreign country. If you don't know how to speak Italian, but you spend enough time in Italy, eventually you pick up some Italian words and phrases.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of an absorption process, too. I remember the very famous actress Ingrid Bergman. Now, she had spoken a number of languages, but when she went to Italy, she couldn't speak Italian at all.
Oh.
So she would speak in Swedish or one of the languages she knew, and then she said one day all of a sudden she was having this argument with one of her staff, and they were just going on and on, and she said, "My goodness, I was speaking Italian."
Yeah, it just kind of happened.
Yeah, it's an absorption. It is a communication level that when it finally clicks, you know you've got it.
And it can, for some people, they get it right away. Me, I had to struggle. I had to work really, really hard at it.
Now, one of the most important parts about your ability that I think is so significant is the way that the animals were able to educate you. So frequently, and I've heard this from people, animals, they don't have the capacity of thinking. They do not have the capacity of reasoning like we do. They are not capable of doing this, that, or the other. I find it so fascinating how, as humans, we make judgments, and people will just call them dumb animals, and they're anything but that.
Oh, I would have to agree with you. In fact, the animals continue to amaze me with the amount of information and their insight and their knowledge and wisdom. I call it a wisdom because it really is a wisdom. They've taught me more about life and living and death and dying than any human ever has.
I would have to agree. Having had a number of animals in my space, they do. They teach you about that. And they teach you an awareness of life that I think is especially significant. Now, you make a point in your book, and your book is called Hear All Creatures, The Journey of an Animal Communicator. And many of the stories in here are very, I'm going to say, heart-touching because of the way you relate the stories. You make a couple of points. Macaws. There was one called the Shamrock.
Mm-hmm.
And you made a comment after you told the story about Shamrock that animals are excellent at manipulating their environments or their humans to get what they want. And I chuckled with that one because I said, oh, is that ever true? I've got two Scottish Terriers, as you know. And they are both superb manipulators, but they are just really, really wonderful, wonderful people to have around. But animals know. And we need to realize that they are intelligent, but they're going to express themselves differently. What was so special about Shamrock?
Well, Shamrock was the one who, we were having this conversation. His human mom was on the phone with me. Almost all of my sessions are done over the telephone. I don't need to be near the animal. I usually work just off of a photo, so we were having this conversation with Shamrock, and she was asking Shamrock what he thought about his creator, or how he viewed his existence here on Earth, and if he believed in a god. And we were just asking all of these really great spiritual questions. And Shamrock replied to us, to his mom and I, the truer we are to ourselves, the more godlike we become.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, Donna, I didn't even know what to say after that. That's just so true. It's just amazing the wisdom that they have.
You mentioned how animals help heal our pain and will many times have illnesses or medical issues that are relating to us. And I think there is an understanding with people, especially if they've done any work with service dogs, how this is so true. There is such a communication with animals. And I've had more than one person through the years that has said, my dog had XYZ, and I feel he took on my illness and helped me heal.
Yeah.
And I can remember years ago when I heard that from someone, I thought, aren't you stretching it a bit? Yet this person, they were just adamant about it, that their animal had done this. What experiences have you had relative to this type of a situation?
Well, it happens more often than we probably realize, because the illness won't exactly manifest exactly in the animal as it does in you. Let's say if you have a lower back injury, the animal might have lower back pain, but it might manifest in another way, simply because our animals are in our lives to help us through our struggles and to help us get through our existence here and to bring us joy and sometimes to bring us challenges, but some of them are here to help us heal. And they will take on our illness to help us. They want to do this. It's something that they feel really strongly about doing. And when I get a client who's calling me that has a situation like this, it's almost amazing how often this happens, where I'll get an illness or an issue that's going on with the animal, and I can almost always trace it back to their human, something that's going on with the human. So it's very, very common, and I see it quite often, and it's just, they're like a gift we get, that they come into our lives, they help us heal, they help us laugh, and they help us to stay in the moment and to remember how important every day is. And that's one of the joys about having animals around.
You make a comment about animals, and when you are going to be gone for a time, like when you're gone on a trip, or whenever you might have to leave your animals at a kennel or something like this, you talk about communicating with them to let them know you're going to be back, and you talk about using visualization. Explain a little bit of that, because I know my Scottish Terriers just, they just do not want to be put in a kennel when there is a trip that comes up. It really distresses them, yet it's something we have to do. We don't have another option at this time. So when that does happen, your suggestion about visualizing what? How can we work with that?
This is a very simple visualization that anybody can do, and anytime I'm getting ready to leave on a trip, before I get out the suitcases, I just I get near my animal or I have them somewhere close to me, and I just picture in my mind how many dark nights I'm going to be gone, and I talk to them out loud. I just say, I call myself Mom to them. I say, Mom's going to be gone for 3 dark nights, and then I picture the rising and setting of the sun 3 times, and then I show myself, I picture myself coming back through the door after the 3rd dark night. And they begin to understand that Mom will be home after the 3 dark nights. There's less stress, there's less separation anxiety, and it's like if you lived with a roommate and all of a sudden the roommate just got up and went out the door with their suitcases and never said, hey, I'm going to be back in 2 days or 3 days. It's like having the courtesy of telling them that you will be coming back so that they don't worry about us or stress about us being gone.
Now, you talk about how animals are aware of patterns, they can see colors. There's so much that we are not typically aware of them being alert to. And there are so many tragic stories about people and abusing animals and all kinds of situations like this. Now, it's beyond my comprehension why anybody would do that. But you bring a point out in your book about animals having life lessons to learn just as we do.
This is very true, and they have lessons to complete while they're here just like we do, and their soul evolves in the physical realm and in the spiritual realms, similar to the way our human souls evolve. And sometimes they're here to teach us things like patience. Sometimes they're here to learn things like courage. And I find this to be very, very similar. Something similar we have in common with them is that they're all here for a reason. They have different purposes and missions to be with us. And one of the saddest ones, Donna, is that some of them aren't always meant to stay with us forever. They're meant to go off to another family or another human.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really tough one, especially if you've ever lost an animal.
Oh, yes, that's very hard. You have a problem that seems to come up frequently, and this is relating to cats. And you had a marvelous story about cats, about litter box misuse. And I can't tell you how many people I've known through the years that have gone through this. And you make a comment that sometimes we need to look at ourselves to uncover the answer. Sometimes we, as the owners of animals, actually might be contributing to a problem that's going on. So how can, and this in some people's minds might be something very insignificant, but if you have a cat, you know that if you've got a problem with a litter box, you got a big problem, because your house and home could very easily become unlivable within a very short period of time. So tell us how you resolve some of these situations.
Well, litter box issues are definitely a big problem. They're a common problem. They're one of the top calls that I get that people struggle with. And usually, and I'm going to talk in generals here, Donna, usually if there's turmoil with the animal, if there's something going wrong with the animal, they've stopped using the litter box, and they have used it for years without any trouble, and now all of a sudden they're not using it anymore. Chances are I can trace that back to some kind of turmoil that's going on within the household. Our animals are like little barometers of us. So when we are balanced and when we are grounded and when we are focused, they're balanced and grounded and focused. But when we get kind of out of sorts and when we're experiencing stressful situations, and I mean new jobs, moving, new relationships, ending relationships, children coming into the household, these are all stressors, and these will reflect on the animals, and they pick up on all of these stresses from us. And I can almost always trace a litter box issue back to something. If it's not a medical issue, I can almost always trace it back to some kind of turmoil within the house.
You have so many wonderful stories in here with animals, stories about animals being lost. You talk about how difficult it is to find cats when they get lost, and you've got great, great stories in here. You also have a chapter on what you call mirrors, that animals are like our personal barometers. Tell us about some of the experiences you've had with that.
Well, this is something that I have personally experienced with some of my animals, and they really do reflect back to us the state of being that we're in and the state of mind that we are experiencing. And this is something I think those of you that are listening, and if you have animals at home and if you're having a behavior problem or something that's going on in the house and it's driving you crazy, I'm going to ask you to take a big, giant step backward and look at the situation and ask yourself honestly, is there something going on in my life, is there something going on in the household that may be affecting your cat or your dog or whoever it is that you share your life with? These mirrors can really reflect back to where our animals are physically, mentally, and it's really helpful when we can see that we sometimes cause these issues without even knowing it. So it helps us take a giant step back and look at the situation and go, okay, my cat or dog is experiencing a behavior problem or a medical condition. What's going on in my life? Are they mirroring me? Are there similar things going back and forth here? I've had some animals that actually take on diabetic health issues when their humans become diabetic. I've had animals that have taken on actual limping in their legs when their humans are having a knee issue or a leg issue. This happens quite often, so it's something to just take a look at in your own life and see if there's some kind of mirroring going on back and forth between you and your animals. If you think about it, we share the same energy in the same space with our animals more than we do with almost everyone else in our life. So they're in our homes, they're around us, some of them are right next to us quite often, so it's only natural that they will pick up on these health issues or stress issues that we're having, just like a mirror reflecting back what's going on in our life.
I think that anyone that has ever worked with service dogs, they are very attuned to this, because when a person has a disability, that dog has been trained, depending on what the need is. They can pick up when someone's getting ready to have a seizure. You know, you have this wonderful, wonderful ability that the animals have. Their sensory system is so refined. So when you work with animals, you begin to become aware of that. And you have what I call a harmonic that really can make a big difference. And it is something, once you experience it, you never forget it. It never goes away.
Oh, I would agree. And on the note of therapy dogs and service dogs, I have to tell you, Donna, that one of the biggest questions I get asked is people want to know if their animals are happy. And I want to tell you from my experience that the dogs that I have connected with over the years, the happiest dogs are the ones with jobs. the ones that are doing something, having a task to complete, the service dogs, the therapy dogs, the dogs for the disabled. These are the agility, even agility dogs. These are the happiest dogs I have ever talked to. Now, cats are another story.
Mm-hmm. Well, with cats, they have a whole different perception about life.
Oh, yes, they do.
Very, very different perception.
I had a little girl about 8 years old ask me, what's easier for you to talk to, a dog or a cat? And I love the simplicity of the question, but it actually made me stop and think for a minute because I had never thought of it that way before. But I truly don't have any difficulty connecting with any animal, but as far as resolving a behavior problem or an issue,
mm-hmm.
dogs are easier to work with as far as bargaining and getting them to agree to make some changes. Cats have a mind of their own.
Sounds like Scottish Terriers.
Are they part cat?
Yes, we swear that they are. Yes, we swear they are. Victor was raised by a cat to a degree when he was a puppy, and he thought he was part cat, and I think he still does. It really is amazing. Karen, what is your website that people can go to find out more about you, the services you offer? You work with people and animals on a regular basis. This is such a passion for you. It's your life's work. How can they get in touch with you?
My website is the best way to reach me, and it's very simple. It's KarenAnderson.net, and nothing unusual spelling, just KarenAnderson.net. And there's a wealth of information on there if you're just curious, if you want to find out what to expect during a session with your animal. There's some examples on there of what I've gotten from the animals during sessions. There's workshops, information of book signings and different events that I do across the U.S. There's all kinds of information on there.
Now, before we close out our conversation today, Karen, what thoughts would you like to leave with my listeners? You have your wonderful book, Hear All Creatures, The Journey of an Animal Communicator. What thought would you like to leave with them today?
I want them to realize that our animal companions are a gift from God that we get to take care of for an unspecified time. You have to cherish and love them every day that you have them because we just don't know how long they're going to be with us.
Regrettably, that's very, very true. And the fact is, they're not going to live as long as we do most of the time. And that is one of the things. I remember a veterinarian that wrote the book All Creatures Great and Small so many years ago. He said that was one thing that he could never quite get over was the fact that his animal companions would only be with him for a few years, relatively speaking. And each and every one of them were a treasure to him. And every time one of them went on their way in life, passed away, it was always very difficult for him. And he was a vet, and he dealt with animals day in and day out.
I would have to agree with you 100%.
Karen, it's been a delight having you as a guest. And again, your website is KarenAnderson.net, and that's A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N, instead of S-E-N, it's S-O-N. KarenAnderson.net, and you'll find out all kinds of wonderful information about her. Karen, it's been a delight having you as a guest. Thank you so much, and may you continue to enjoy an expansion of your work and have much success.
And thank you as well, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Don't you go away now. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna, and I want to tell you, phone lines are open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Here are the telephone numbers, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Also, for those of you in Canada, you can call on 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. If you're a new listener to the show, welcome. We're delighted to have you as part of our listening family. All I need from you when you call in is your first name or your initial, and then I'll give you my mental impressions, and after that, you're welcome to ask me about anything that you like, a question about anything that... animal, vegetable, mineral, it doesn't make any difference. It all is the same to me. I wanted to share with you something that was, I thought, just absolutely delightful. We've been talking about animals, and right now I'm going to switch to kids for a minute, because when you have little ones, it's amazing how they'll figure out how they can manipulate things and work with situations so that they have advantages that usually we don't want them to have. There was a 3-year-old little girl. She broke her thigh bone when she was roughhousing with some of her relatives. Now, the break wasn't a serious one. It was only a hairline fraction. A cast wasn't called for, but the little girl could not move very easily. She had to scoot around in a sitting position for about 3 weeks, a little bit more time maybe than that, but she had to scoot. This is the way she had to move. Now, she got used to having a lot of attention because she was doing all this scooting and she had to do things very differently. So she really liked the attention, and this was something nobody else was doing. This was something very unique, just specific to her situation. Well, she really adjusted very, very well. However, she adjusted in a way that the family hadn't expected. She didn't want to walk again. That's right. 3 years old now. This is how sharp this little girl was. Now, the doctor that was taking care of the child was pretty savvy. He had been working with kids for quite a long time. And so he decided he was going to try a little psychological investigation here. He said, you know, sweetheart, I know you can't really walk on your leg right now, but do you think you could show me how you used to walk on it? She said, sure. Here's this 3-year-old. She gets up, walks around the room, and she's sort of surprised. It's like, oops, I can walk, can't I? And then she was sort of feeling bad. Nobody scolded her at all for this. Of course, it surprised the parents because of everything they'd been going through. But the doctor just smiled. He said, well, I think it's okay for you to walk from now on. Now, this savvy doctor knew that the child was well and could walk and was taking advantage of the situation. And sometimes the best way to manage through a tough time is to distract someone from their problem so that they can rediscover the strengths that they've had all along. And that's what this doctor did with this little girl. There was no scolding, like I said. It was just, well, you can keep on doing that now. I think he was a pretty good doctor, don't you? Sometimes life is like that. We go through very, very difficult times. Maybe we end up having to go through a divorce, or we lose a job, or we have a health condition that affects us, or there's something that's a trauma of some kind psychologically that we don't know exactly how to respond to it. So we go into a mode that is not healthy for us. It's not the best way for us to handle things. And that's often when it's a good time to ask for help. And or if you're someone that's observing another individual going through something like this, maybe do like the doctor did and offer a distraction of type. And focus on the person's strengths, not on their weaknesses, on whatever is the negative at the time. Encourage them to discover themselves. There's no one that comes into this world that's going to be able to go through life without having those distractions, without having those pains and traumas of different types. It's part of our learning curve. It is something, my goodness, that is just so varied in the way that it affects people. And so many times people will get stuck in thinking, I cannot do anything about the way I feel. I can't do anything about the way I am thinking. I can't do anything about this, that, or the other. And in some instances that may be true, but the truth is you can shift your thinking. You can, if you have had certain things that have been so intensely difficult for you, there are always going to be options where you can be aware that this situation can work for you in the long term and actually empower you, and someday you may even be able to help someone else get through a similar situation. But it is a do-it-yourself job. Nobody can ever do it for you. Nobody can ever fix those feelings for you. But sometimes we can get assistance from someone just in a shifting of thinking, like with this little three-year-old girl, and it can release you from a patterning that maybe hasn't been working so well for you. This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 877-876-5227 is the number. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. I do want to remind you that we have got a fabulous event coming up in Los Angeles, and it's at the 6th Annual Conscious Life Expo Conference and Film Festival. Now, this is being held February 8th through the 11th at the LAX Hilton, which is at 5711 West Century Boulevard in Los Angeles. Their phone number, or the phone number for this wonderful event, the Conscious Life Expo Group is putting it on, it's 1-800-367-5777. That's 800-367-5777. Go to their website, ConsciousLifeExpo.com. ConsciousLifeExpo.com. It is bringing together cutting-edge speakers, including Byron Katie, Gay Hendricks, The Peaceful Warrior, Dan Millman, Lisa Williams, George Norrie, and so many, many more. They're going to have a spiritual comedy night, a conscious business symposium, also yogic classes, and so much more. Now, I'm going to be there. I am also going to be one of the speakers. You can call the 800 number at 367-5777 if you wanted to book early. Remember, you can go to their website and find out even more information, the Conscious Life Expo. And I'm looking forward to not only being a participant, but we'll also be doing a live broadcast right from that very event on the 8th. So I wanted to let you know about that as well. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Well, I thought I had heard about just about everything. Of course, you never do. There's always going to be someone coming up with something new. And I thought, well, this is something that is extremely different. There are some people that have done research about the types of calendars that we buy. And we all have our particular tastes with calendars. That's why there's so many thousands of varieties. And in this research, they said, if you want to see a little bit about who you are, take a look at the calendar that you choose. Now, in 2008, we're all out there taking on whatever we can, but when we're looking at a regular calendar every single day, it usually is an indicator of the type of person that we are, our strengths and goals and desires. So let me just share with you what they came up with in their research. Now, if you're a person that loves nature scenes in your calendars, you're a person that's an achiever. You're always working on improving yourself, and the scenes that you choose to focus on reveal the areas you'd like to change. Your calendar is showing a waterfall means that you're more adaptable. A landscape, a flat landscape, means you want to be more practical. Mountains suggest you're ready to follow your dreams. So that's one aspect. If you love animal calendars, which is one of my favorites, you've got sharp intuition. Like animals, you have the ability to sniff someone out and know what that person's really feeling. You can zero in on people's insecurities, and you know how to offer reassurance, and it makes you the ideal supervisor and confidant. Now, if you love calendars that show the seasons, you love tradition. Whether it's sleigh rides or July 4th barbecues, you like tradition. And you'll do almost anything, including mediating feuds and forgiving slights, to make sure that families and friends, the links that are there, stay good and healthy. You really love tradition. If you love cartoons and your calendars, you're a social butterfly. You're a natural born charmer, a person that attracts people to you like a magnet. And you like that because you don't like being by yourself. You prefer having people around you even when you're just running errands because they keep you motivated and on task, and you have a good sense of humor. Now, if you're a person that loves landmarks or cities on your calendar, you are the adventuresome soul. You'll try anything. You love to get involved in new situations, and you believe that any different experience, like meeting new people or learning how to operate the latest gadget, can open the door to even more adventure. Now, with flowers, if you love calendars filled with flowers, you're so creative on all levels. Painting, cooking, knitting, it doesn't make any difference. As long as you have something that you can put your energy into in a creative way, that makes your life rich. You love to create new environments. You don't like to copy other people. And you have confidence because you love color. You like the unusual. And people often will say, boy, you just seem to do something. When you walk into a room, you just bring this energy with you. It's just marvelous. That's because it's who you are. You're just very creative. Family photos on calendars, if that's your thing, you are like a rock of stability in life. You absolutely love looking at those people that mean the most to you, and you stay pretty composed when problems come up because you put issues into perspective, and you keep your cool when others might not do so. You're regarded as a leader who can handle responsibility with ease. And if you like calendars with celebrities, you've got secret talents. Mm-hmm. If you like to see famous faces on your calendar, you admire skills that have made them what they are, and you want to do the same thing. You probably enjoy the special TV shows that are on that are promoting people that want to become celebrities. So you are a person that likes drama in your life, and you really want to unveil those secrets within. Well, I thought that would be something a little bit different. Like I said, you never know what people are going to come up with. It's amazing what they find out with research. We'll find out what else may be coming up on some other level in a future time. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Don't go away. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Thank you. Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Well, I don't know what your world is like where you are. Our temps have been dipping down, and then all of a sudden we get a little bit of warmth, and then we go dipping down into the cooler temperatures. And Kathy Tavrell is a woman that had a short little poem for winter that I really liked. She says, "The world outside my window is blanketed in white, but I just smile and sip my tea and pull the covers round me tight." Isn't that a cozy verbal image? I just love that. But speaking of staying warm and curled up and nice and cozy, you need to be aware that in your home, you want to be sure that you take and pay attention to your environment with some precautions. You want to be aware that there can be something like carbon monoxide in your home, and it's tasteless, it's odorless, you just don't realize that it's there. So I was given some information on this, and I thought I would share it with you today, because during the winter months, we're often told that we need to have our houses energy secured, and that means that they are so tight they don't breathe. And that may sound a little odd, but I have talked to so many people in construction through the years where they said they've ended up having major problems with mold and gases and other things when houses are too tight. And I'll share something with you. Years ago, up in Alaska, when people would build their log cabins, places like that, they always had holes that were put in up towards the upper part of the walls that would let air in. And the reason they did that is because when you had a fire going in the fireplace, it just got so you didn't have enough oxygen in the room. You would literally become sleepy and oxygen deprived. So that was something. Yes, you might have a little bit of a chill every now and then, but the truth is, if your house is sealed too tight, just as human beings, our bodies give off an incredible amount of gas, and it is amazing how we exude that. Have you ever noticed when you've been in a mall, when you've been shopping, how if it's really packed, let's say around the holidays, you come out and you step into the fresh air and you go, "Wow, it feels so good to be outside." What's happening is that you're in a very large area that is packed so tightly with people, and our bodies are giving off these gases, and it's depriving us of oxygen. So when you step outside of a crowded environment, it can be a theater, it can be a mall, it can be anywhere, and you take in that fresh air, you're going, "Wow, that feels so good." It's because you're getting oxygen. You've been deprived. Well, small carbon monoxide leaks from heating systems, stoves, and dryers have made a lot of people sick. They end up getting headaches, nausea, dizziness, and all kinds of problems during the winter. But you can be aware of this. Remember, just having an attitude of being fearful isn't worth anything. It's not going to accomplish anything. But if you can be knowledgeable, it's going to eliminate a lot of the concern. Now, carbon monoxide, as I said, is invisible, but there's little hints that if you've got carbon monoxide in your environment that you can look for. If you've got a water heater that's in a closet inside of your house, if there's rust on top of the water heater and the furnace burner on the back of the furnace cover and top of the vent, you can be sure that you've got carbon monoxide leaking out. Now, there's a gentleman who's a specialist in this, Reggie Marston. He's with the Residential Equity Management Home Inspections, and he's out of Virginia. He said also, fallen soot in fireplaces, damaged or discolored chimney bricks, and excess moisture on windows or walls. You need to find out what's going on. So you might want to call in someone that deals with this area of specialty. Also, if you have gas heat, you want to be sure that the color is right. A properly burning gas flame in the furnace or stove will be predominantly blue. If the flame has too much yellow in it, it means it's not burning correctly. Another sign of trouble if you get headaches or smell a small odor when using your gas oven or stove. I know usually when you have gas heat, I do not have it myself in my own home at this time, but there was a time for many, many years when I did have it, and there is something they put into the gas that is a real obnoxious smell. So if you have a leak, you're going to smell this odor, and the reason you're smelling it is because it's there to be for your safety, so that you can be advised. If you notice that gas smell, call the technician as soon as you can. Also, you want to have a detector. If carbon monoxide reaches unsafe levels, it will definitely let you know. You want to put one on each floor outside your bedrooms and within 15 feet of fuel-burning appliances. And keep them low. You want to have them 18 inches to 3 feet from the floor, since carbon monoxide is heavier than air. I don't know if you'd ever known that. I didn't. But you want to put them down lower to the floor. Now, something you can do that is so great, and that is keeping plenty of houseplants around. You may not think you've got a green thumb. You don't necessarily have to have one. But if you have plants in your house, they absorb so many of the toxic components that can be in your environment. Let's say you've had new rugs put in. They deal with the absorption of the toxicity that comes from those materials. Also, you want to make sure that you have good ventilation in your home. If you have heaters, washers, or dryers in a confined area, you want to keep a window open slightly to circulate the air. If you have a gas appliance, this is especially important. It prevents problems. Also, another thing, if you've got a fireplace in your home, look for cracks in the walls near the chimneys. A lot of older fireplaces with deteriorated flues can leak carbon monoxide into the house through nearby wall cracks, and I didn't know this, it can draw it up into second and third floors. So you might want to have a professional inspection once a year. We have friends that have a home that's over 100 years of age, and their home is like four levels. It's amazing. I forget how tall their chimney is. And when they have it inspected, they find that it is a big chore because, one, it was built so long ago, but, two, things are often discovered where there are bricks that need to be replaced or the mortar has sort of disappeared from certain areas because of just age. So these are things that we need to be aware of, and materials have changed through the years. So if you have a home that's from the 40s, 50s, 60s, all the way up until the 90s, a lot of times these chimneys, the mortar that was used may or may not have been the best grade possible, and the materials, again, have changed. So having it checked is a good idea. But I just wanted to share those thoughts with you. I know that we are out of time. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. There are so many wonderful things in life to explore, and if you have a pet, remember, they have their own way of communicating, and you can learn to not just listen, but to be totally aware of what's going on with them, and it'll make your life a fascinating experience. Talk with you tomorrow. We're going to be talking about the college hook. Yes, if you've got a college kid, you're not going to want to miss this. this is going to be really interesting. Pam Proctor will be my guest, and then on Friday we're going to be talking with DJ Gallagher, Everything I Needed to Know I Learned from Other Women. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.